Chapter 14. The sole advantage we had in this fight was the fact the room was not very big, which meant there were only so many adversaries that could be crammed into it at one time. The doorway formed a bottleneck of sorts, and this was the main reason we stood any kind of chance at leaving here alive. Most of the vampires seemed to be going for Kyla, probably because they could smell the fey blood in her, but she was more than capable of firing off tiny, highly concentrated blasts of light that scorched them from the inside out. Within seconds, tiny, smoldering, bullet-like holes smoked in the bastards' foreheads, and they collapsed to the ground, dead before they even hit the floor. A lot of them went for me, too, because I was still wearing Keegan's shirt, and they hadn't yet realized I myself wasn't actually part fairy. But that was fine. The more attention it dragged away from Carmen, Asami, and Kyla, the better. The vampires who set themselves after me also soon had small holes in their foreheads, and they also died before they hit the ground. But despite my and Kyla's skills, we would have been overwhelmed without Asami and my sister battling furiously with the silver knives and driving back the vampires until Kyla or I had a chance to finish them off properly. The blades glittered and flashed as they sliced at faces, hands, and throats. Kyla yelled at Carmen and Asami to pull their shirts up over their mouths and keep their lips tightly closed because it wouldn't take much swallowed blood for the change to set in. One vampire got too close to Asami for comfort, and I raised my gun and dispatched it with a headshot. Then I felt the slide stay back and realized that had been the last round in the magazine. My eyes scanned around automatically, and I saw my backpack had been kicked over to Scratch's desk at some point, so it was about 6 feet away from where our group was huddled back to back. As I surged forward and my left hand reached for it, my right hand pressed the small button that released the now empty magazine from my gun. It clattered to the floor, and a moment later a full one clicked into place, and I immediately hit the slide release to chamber a round. Then I raised my arm to fire at a vampire who'd been literally snapping at my heels. I took a second, it was a half second, quarter second, to look at him before I turned my attention back to the fight. He didn't age so rapidly like the others, didn't collapse into dust, and instead seemed stuck somewhere in his mid-40s. Was that how old he'd really been? He was probably still a kid in vampire terms. All of these vampires, every one of them attacking us right now, they'd been people once. Had they willingly turned into vampires, or had they been attacked, and the choice to work with Scratch had been a desperate attempt to reclaim the human lives that were stolen from them, lives lived in the sunlight? Had they been power-hungry megalomaniacs before or after they'd become vampires? And did they believe Scratch's insanity about being the perfect hunters who were biologically meant to take what they wanted and burn everything else to the ground? Not that any of that mattered right now. They were trying to kill me, my sister, and my friends. I could live with a few questions if it meant the people I cared about got to live, so I raised my reloaded pistol and fired again. A second later, I felt my feet being yanked out from under me, and I crashed to the ground. I didn't even give myself time to feel the pain or assess the damage the fall might have caused. That was what adrenaline was for. I twisted to get on my back, because it was a vulnerable position, but still less vulnerable than being pinned on my stomach. And I saw the junky-looking vampire, Daniel, was leaning over me with a mad glitter in his eyes. "Oh, God, I bet you think I smell like a fairy, don't you?" I muttered, more to myself than to him. Honestly, he barely seemed to even notice I'd spoken. He'd already been desperate for his next fix, and now that a full-on fight had broken out, he was just too eager for blood to think rationally. Kyla and the others were 10 feet away from me, but they were so focused on staying alive that they didn't seem to have noticed I was gone yet. I opened my mouth to call for them, but it was choked off when an impossibly strong hand squeezed around my throat.
"Mr. Scratch said I couldn't have any more. Said I'd already had too much. He's just trying to keep it all to himself."
"He is? But that doesn't mean you haven't also had too much."
I barely managed to wheeze out. He was uncomfortably strong. This kid, who was smaller and younger and crazier than me, had my throat and wrist in a grip tight enough to hurt, and if I let my gun go, then I was dead for sure.
Let me go, Daniel! You won't get what you want from me!
I can smell it! I can smell you! Give me a taste, just a little taste.
If he got his fangs in me, how much venom would it take to turn me? He would notice I wasn't actually a half-fey at once. But would he let go of me then? Would he kill me anyway? Would it even matter? Or would there already be too much vampire venom in my bloodstream to do me any good? I wasn't eager to find out.
No!
I growled, and I tried to turn my gun toward him. If I could get a glancing shot off him, he'd probably let go of me on instinct, but there was no way to tell where the bullet would ricochet. It could hit one of the other vampires, or it could hit Carmen, or Kyla, or Asami. If Kyla started actually bleeding in here, it would no doubt turn into a mad frenzy. We'd be torn to pieces.
Let go of me, Daniel!
It was a technique they'd taught me in conflict de-escalation, to refer to the individual by name as much as possible. Remind them of their individuality, their humanity, their ability to choose. But would human psychology work on someone who is no longer a human? Was vampire addiction the same as human addiction?
No, I can smell you! Just a taste! Give me a taste!
His other hand, the one not pinning my gun arm, tightened around my throat. My left arm was pinned to my side by his leg as he straddled me, but for all I kicked and thrashed, he didn't even seem to notice. He might as well have been made of stone.
I'll give you a taste if you get off me!
I lied, and the words came out strangled. I was running out of air, and I couldn't quite manage to inhale. He was going to knock me out and leave me entirely defenseless if I didn't commit to a choice now.
Let me go, and you can taste all you want. Just let me go.
Oh, no, no, you're lying. I want it now. Just a little taste. Yeah, Mr. Scratch doesn't know what he's talking about.
Every time I tried to angle my gun properly, he squeezed harder at my wrist, and it was taking everything in me not to drop the gun altogether and surrender entirely. My vision was beginning to darken at the edges. I needed to choose. Risk getting turned into a vampire, or risk shooting one of my friends. No contest. I stopped trying to angle my gun toward Daniel and braced myself for the pain. I trusted my teammates, but they were busy fighting for their own lives. I was the trained one. I was the one supposed to keep them safe. I wouldn't endanger them to save my own skin. I'd take the hit and kill him once he was distracted. Hopefully he'd be too confused by the fact I didn't taste right and wouldn't get enough venom into me. Hopefully he wouldn't immediately tear my throat out. Hopefully I could get enough air in my lungs to be able to focus. If not, then... Oh, please forgive me, monkey. Bile rose in my throat as, for the second time, I felt hot breath fan over my neck, but I kept my grip tight on my gun. I'd need to fire quickly. I'd need to be focused. I couldn't afford to get this wrong. I felt the tiniest prick on the skin of my throat and flinched. Something silver glittered in the corner of my vision, which began to clear as Daniel's grip on my throat suddenly relaxed. Then I blinked a few times until I realized Carmen was standing over me with one of Kyla's silver-plated knives in one hand. The other was protruding from the back of Daniel's throat. That was the prick I'd felt, not his fangs, but the knife. Daniel's limp body toppled off me, and I jumped to my feet quickly. Maybe too quickly, because I wobbled for a moment, and Carmen reached out a hand to help steady me.
Oh, you okay?
She asked me. Her eyes were wide with concern, and her face was streaked with blood. I nodded as my free hand came up to probe at my throat. It was tender, but it could have been a whole lot worse.
I smelled like a half-fey to him. The fight broke out. He must have been going crazy with withdrawals. Decided to say, fuck it.
I bent down and pulled the knife free from his head. It made a slick, wet sound, and I wiped it clean on the back of Daniel's shirt before handing it to Carmen.
You doing okay, monkey?
I asked, I knew the fight was still going on and we needed to focus, but had to check on her first.
Like I said before.
My sister answered, and she had the same determined look in her eyes as I'd seen last night.
You're safe and alive, so I have no regrets.
Atta girl. I grinned and raised my gun to shoot over her shoulder. Carmen whipped around just in time to see a vampire who'd been approaching her from behind crumple to the floor, dead. All right, now we're even, I told her, and she let out a laugh.
You gotta admit,
she said, as she turned so her back was pressed against mine. On the other side of the room, Kyla and Asami had done the same, and I saw Kyla shoot me a worried look that relaxed as soon as she saw Carmen and I were all right.
This is way more interesting than bussing tables.
Oh, you and I'd be wasted bussing tables. I cackled, and yeah, maybe it was a little fucked up for me to be laughing right now, but I was here with my sister, and we were being total badasses while taking out bad guys who wanted to hurt innocent people. I fired another two shots at a vampire who'd been sneaking up on Asami's blind spot, and she jumped at the sudden noise, but then shot me a grateful smile when she realized what had happened. We need to regroup, I told my sister. We're more vulnerable while split up like this. One big group is better than two smaller ones. Two weaker ones, specifically, but Carmen didn't protest, so we edged our way over to Kyla and Asami and reformed our group.
Why are they coming after us like this? It's like they're mad or something. They are.
Kyla had to shout to be properly heard above the mayhem.
They can smell me and Keegan's shirt. Scratch has been holding out on them. Combined with the carnage of seeing their friends attacked, their natural circadian rhythms being reversed, they probably don't have a rational thought in their heads.
If they did, they'd probably still be trying to kill us, though, I pointed out. Then I turned to fire off another shot at a vampire who was getting too close to Carmen for my comfort. They're working for a half-fate trafficking operation.
Leo, duck!
Kyla ordered, and I didn't even give myself time to question it. I just crouched down and saw a ray of brilliant light zap across the space where my head had been only a fraction of a second earlier. It buried itself in the face of an oncoming vampire, and he loomed over me for just a moment before he turned to smoking dust. Thanks! I called to Kyla as I straightened. I'd been so focused on keeping the vampires off the others that I hadn't even noticed him approaching behind me. They were starting to thin out now, and maybe they were also starting to calm down as they realized the fight wasn't going to go in their favor. But at the same time, fewer adversaries meant there was more space for them to move, and boy, could they move. Vampires were fast, I knew this, but a vampire half mad with a craving for fairy blood and rage over seeing his friends killed, well, he was on a whole other level entirely. I was reluctant to let off shots until they were practically on top of me in case I missed and hit someone else. Luckily, because we were all so close together, that made the chance of me accidentally hitting one of the others smaller, but still not zero. So instead, I let the bastards get close enough until they realized I wasn't what I first seemed. Daniel had been too far gone to notice, but these other guys had, well, slightly more going on inside their heads. I waited for that moment of confusion, of hesitation, and then I shoved the barrel of my gun under their chins and pulled the trigger. Eventually, it was just the four of us, panting, covered in blood, and standing in the center of the carnage. There were something like 30 bodies surrounding us. If not for the fact the vampires hadn't all been able to physically fit in this room at the same time, they would have slaughtered us. Anyone hurt? I asked around heaving breaths. The adrenaline was just starting to wear off, and I could feel aches in my wrists, my hip where I'd landed on the floor, and most prominently around my throat.
A few bruises, I think, but no open wounds,
Kyla said, and then she turned to Asami and began checking her over in a manner not entirely dissimilar to an older sister looking after a younger sister. When she evidently pronounced the Japanese woman to be in good health, the blonde smiled and leaned forward to kiss Asami's forehead before she turned her attention to Carmen and me.
You're both all right?
She asked, and raised a hand to brush at my forehead.
I saw you get tackled by Daniel.
I realized only when she took her hand away that I had a small cut along my hairline, since one of her fingers was streaked with blood. Yeah, I'm fine, I promised her. My left hand came up to cup her face, and my thumb wiped away a streak of blood from her cheekbone. Thanks to Carmen. She's kind of a badass.
It runs in the family.
Carmen grinned at me and wiped at the blood across her chin. Suddenly I heard a scuffling sound off to the side, and turned to see Sullivan Scratch emerge from under a pile of books. Someone had knocked into a bookshelf at some point and sent it toppling forward. It had caught on the desk, so the bookcase itself didn't hit the floor, but all the books had fallen out and hidden Scratch, who had been cowering behind his desk.
Mr. Scratch, nice of you to join us,
Kyla said coolly, and when he looked up at her, his jaw dropped.
You're one of the Campbell twins,
he said, and then his face twisted with rage.
You and your blasted brother are to blame for all of this. Amaryllis couldn't put up with the two of you being in the Order. She called it an affront. I told her she shouldn't have bothered with such ridiculousness. God damn it!
He pulled himself to his feet and looked like he was going to lunge for her, but I very deliberately stepped between him and Kyla, raised my gun, and trained it squarely on Scratch's head. You touch her, and I'll blow your brains out.
Please!
Scratch wailed, and suddenly all the intimidating Vampire Master stuff evaporated, and he began shaking like a leaf with his hands raised in surrender.
Please, don't kill me. Have mercy, please.
I had to fight not to let the disgust show on my face. Of course, when all his men had died for him, he was just a sniveling coward. So much for being evolution's perfect hunter. I guess some things really didn't change. There'd always be those who would do anything and say anything to protect their own skin.
I have information on the Phoenix lot. You're freelancers, right? You'll take eye jobs. Even I know the payout for the Phoenix disaster is something huge. Please don't kill me. I'll tell you everything.
How do we know you're not lying? I asked, and I increased the pressure on the trigger. I'd put the safety back on as a precaution, now that the fight was over, but Scratch hadn't seemed to notice that.
I have information! I do! Valuable information! I can help you take them down!
Then tell us. I ordered, and my voice was very cold and very calm. And maybe I won't kill you where you stand. Scratch hesitated, and then his entire body jerked, like if an old VHS tape skipped and the video jumped forward by a few frames. I couldn't tell if it was sheer fear for his life or if he was experiencing some of the same withdrawal symptoms that had sent Daniel nearly insane with bloodlust.
I don't actually have that information off the top of my head. It's too much to just have. I don't know all the details, but I have names.
Names don't mean much if we don't know what they're actually doing. Amaryllis is too well protected for us to be able to go after her, even if we have some evidence. We need irrefutable proof. So if you don't have anything useful like that, there's no point in keeping you alive. I took a small step forward.
Wait! Please, You, in my desk! Look in my desk! You can find my records, my files!
I narrowed my eyes at him, but then looked over at Carmen and nodded sternly. She walked around to the other side of the desk, and with Kyla's help, pushed the bookcase upright to get at the desk drawers. Kyla then kept her green eyes fixed on Scratch, as Carmen crouched down and yanked open the drawers. Find anything? I asked my sister as she rummaged through the files.
Give me a minute.
It's good information. The Phoenix lot approached me. They knew I was powerful, that I had influence. They wanted me to work with them because they thought I had similar ideas as them.
Quiet.
Actually, wait.
Asami said, and she took a step forward so she was standing at my side.
The Phoenix case. You know what they stand for, what their end goal is.
I do!
Scratch said as he nodded eagerly.
They're sick of hiding. They refuse to keep bowing to the artificial supremacy of the Order, of hiding behind the veil, all to protect a few ignorant humans.
If you're just gonna spout more zealot crap, I'll shoot you just to shut you up. I scowled, and Scratch closed his mouth so fast I heard the clack of his teeth. Tell us what Phoenix actually wants.
They want to be free of the veil. I don't know exactly how they plan to do it, but they want freedom. And isn't that what we all yearn for in the end?
Who's they?
Asami asked.
We haven't been able to identify what group is responsible for the attacks. Some of them look like they were vampires, others werewolves. Still others, half-demons.
Scratch let out a cackling laugh, and even my waving the gun at him menacingly didn't shut him up right away. Every time he looked at Asami, he just started laughing all over again.
You think too small, little girl. You want to know why Phoenix has been such a problem for your order, for your eyes? They think too small, too. The reason some of the attacks look like they were inflicted by vampires is because they were inflicted by vampires. The reason some of the attacks look like they were inflicted by werewolves is because they were inflicted by werewolves. It's that simple, and you're all too blind to see it.
I waved the gun again and he finally shut up, but most of my attention was focused on Asami, whose dark eyes had gone wide.
There are different magical groups working together?
She asked softly.
But that's unprecedented.
Is it? What's so weird about different magical species working together? We saw them hanging out together in bars and gyms and stuff.
That's different,
Kyla said.
Being around someone because you're broadly part of the same community is different than choosing to work with someone. Every magical group wants something different. You heard him.
She nodded to Scratch, and I shot him a quick glare. Oh, vampires are evolution's perfect weapons or whatever. I agreed, and my tone made it clear exactly what I thought of that particular statement. I can see why others might be reluctant to work with you.
It's more than that,
Asami said.
Until recently, maybe 100 years ago, magical communities didn't really overlap. Vampires only existed where there were other vampires to turn them. Same for werewolves. And the second site is genetic. Globalization is a very recent development. Things like the internet have connected people in new ways. It's easier for groups to find things in common, and those things in common don't just have to be TV shows or musical groups. They can be tips on how to deal with a werewolf's monthly shift, or how a vampire can pass as a human despite not being able to go out in the daytime.
As if I would lower myself to pass as human. That's not why we drink half-fey. We refuse to be content with half the world. We take what is not freely given. The Phoenix Group is unlike anything this world has ever seen before. There's no precedent for the likes of them. They're new and terrifying, and they will destroy the false ideas built up by the Order.
Man, shut the hell up. Monkey, have you found anything yet?
Just a bunch of profiles.
Carmen called back, and her hand popped up from behind the desk to wave a file at me.
Like patient records? They're all half-fey. Jameson's in here.
Scratch tensed. It was tiny, almost imperceptible, but I saw it. And Kyla saw it, too. What do you do with half-fey? It was your address in that vampire's wallet. This is obviously some kind of rendezvous point. What do you do with them?
Isn't it obvious?
Scratch smirked, and he seemed to be getting over whatever cowardice had him sniveling a moment ago. He seemed almost cocky now.
I drink them. They usually last a few weeks. They'd last longer if I was more careful, but there's not as much fun in being careful.
He bared his fanged teeth in what could technically be called a smile, but there was absolutely no mirth in it. So they're here? If you don't sell them off, they must be here. Where are they? I stepped forward again, with the gun still trained on Scratch's head. You can't drink them if you're dead. Or maybe I won't kill you. Maybe I'll just take out your knees and leave you here to starve or burn. What would happen first if I ripped down that little gauzy curtain and left you in the sunlight?
Please.
Scratch muttered as his bravado faltered, and I could see how much he hated this, how much he loathed having to beg for his life. Well, maybe he wasn't quite as spineless as I'd thought. Maybe he'd been trying to play to our sympathies. But he knew that once the half-fey were involved, he wouldn't be able to tug on any heartstrings.
Don't kill me. Don't leave me like that, pathetic. You can have the information. You can have the half-fey. Just let me live.
Common, I said, without taking my eyes off the pathetic bastard. Keep looking for the Phoenix files. Asami, you look over those personnel files she found. Kyla, Mr. Scratch is going to show you and me what he does with the half-fey. All three of the women nodded, and Scratch glared at me, but there wasn't much he could do when I still had my gun trained on him. He led us through the winding hallways of the manor, and I took note of the doors again. The floor plan was definitely static, unlike the sanctuary, which put me a little more at ease. Plus, the only auras I could see were Scratch's and Kyla's, as he led us down a narrow set of stairs into what could have only been a basement. If you're trying to play some kind of trick on us, this is going to end very poorly for you. I warned him. Behind me, Kyla raised her hand and let a small orb of light float above her palm, which illuminated the passageway. At the bottom was a wooden door that looked solid in its frame, and Scratch pulled a heavy iron key from around his neck, slipped it into the lock, and turned it. A door swung open on surprisingly quiet hinges, and I heard the rush of several people breathing in suddenly, while trying to make themselves silent and invisible. Then I caught the sight of the mist rolling along the floor. Only it wasn't mist, it was the silvery wisps of aura. At least 20. All of them moving and overlapping the same way Kyla's aura did.
I'm a man of my word, human,
Scratch said, and he stepped aside. I kept my gun trained on him, but Kyla walked right past us and sent the little orb of light into the room. I knew what it would show even before its light reached inside the room. I knew those auras. And sure enough, huddled in what I could only describe as cells, as cages, were half-fays. Kyla stepped into the room, and the half-fays all shied away from her, with their backs pressing against the wall. They all had the same slightly pointed features as she did, the same flawless skin, the same elegant, slender builds. They all looked like athletes, strong and lithe and fast, but there was no missing the dark circles under their eyes, the sluggishness of their movements, and how their gazes didn't quite track how Kyla moved, like they were on a kind of delay. Jesus fucking Christ, I muttered, but I forced my attention to turn back to Scratch in case he tried anything. Were you ever human?
I must have been once,
Scratch shrugged,
in order to have become this. But I thank whatever powers that be that I have no memories of such a time. It disgusts me to imagine I would have ever been so weak.
Because this isn't weakness. Preying on people in cages to further your own delusions of grandeur? Scratch laughed again, and I realized he hadn't been cowering or pathetic because he was really scared. He'd just been trying to save his own life. But now he seemed to realize patheticness wouldn't get him anywhere. Maybe he thought I would admire his conviction.
I'm a vampire. We drink and we drain. It is the way we are.
You have the key? I asked while I ignored his proclamation entirely. To open the cells?
Same key that opens this door, and I'll give it to you once I am guaranteed my freedom.
Leo!
Carmen's voice was a distant yell.
We found them! We found the Phoenix files!
Scratch raised a hand to gesture up to the top of the stairs where my sister's voice had come from.
You see? I'm a man of my word. I have information on the Phoenix incidents. You're welcome to it. I have no interest in joining their operation anyway. And if mine has to come to an end, well, I'll enjoy seeing something else burn, too.
I looked at Kyla, who was trying to assure the half-fae in the cells that everything would be all right. But every time she outstretched her hand, she hissed and recoiled from the bars. They were, of course, pure iron.
I'm a man of my word,
Scratch said again, and he pulled my attention back to him. His eyes were shiny. Was he seriously trying to pull some hypnotism right now? Maybe he thought he could ease my mind to a more merciful decision.
You have the files, and you know now Phoenix is unlike anything the magical community has ever seen before. You know I'm right. You'll need all the help you can get, and I can provide that information.
He had a crazy sort of smile on his face again, and I saw the eagerness of a man who just wanted to fight, to see things bleed. I'd learned to steer clear of such people while I'd been overseas, and I had no intentions of stopping that now.
Don't you see?
Scratch asked me as his eyes continued to glitter.
I have that information. More than what's in the files. I can help you take them down.
There was a click as I took the safety off the gun. Scratch looked at it, and I saw the tiniest relaxation in his expression as his pale blue eyes darted down to the barrel of the gun for the briefest moment, then back to mine. Yeah, I do see. Thanks. And then I pulled the trigger.